Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Welcome to Crossplay Compatible. I'm your host, Carrington, and I'm here with Roger. Roger, what's up?
Hello, hello, folks. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm tired. I had a long day at work, but I am here. How about yourself?
Same. Yeah. Long day, but hey, you know what? I'm excited to do this show.
Me too. Apologies for everyone out there that's listening. We actually had episode one recorded, but it is my fault. I will take responsibility for my audio getting corrupted. But here we are, the official episode one.
This is officially episode number one now. Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's about dang time, right?
Yeah. So we should actually, because they didn't listen to episode one because it never really aired. So we should really go through like what the premise of this show is.
Sure. So I'm Carrington. For those who don't know me, I'm from Real Dudes Podcast. And for those who don't know, Roger, why don't you introduce yourself real quick from your podcast?
Yeah, I'm Roger. I'm from the Gamerheads podcast.
And this is kind of a crossover show of those two shows. And we're just really going to go over video games in general, of course, because we love gaming just like you guys out there. But in particular, we're going to talk about games that had a huge influence on culture and what that means for us as gamers today and what was going on in the world at that time when those games did come out and how we felt if we did play them when they came out or what kind of impact it had on our lives as we were growing up. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm pumped. And I mean, yeah, I'm excited and pumped and ready to do this. How about you?
Yeah, sorry. Hey, I lost you there for a moment.
You're good. I just kept talking, you know.
No okay, biggie. Good. Good. Yeah, I'm excited. So this week I'm going to open up with, we always open up with an icebreaker. So my icebreaker to you this week then, Carrington, is what is the very first game you ever beat?
That's a very good question. And I have to, while I search my memory banks, what is the first game you ever beat?
Well, it's actually the game we're going to be talking about today, Super Mario really? Brothers 2. Yeah, that was the very first game I beat.
That is fantastic. And thinking about it, it was probably either Sonic the Hedgehog 2 or Pilot Wings on the Super Nintendo. It was one of those two.
Wow. That's so funny, like how different. And that's the other thing. Our age difference is, well, yeah, there's an age difference here.
Just a bit, yeah, just a little bit. But it's not too bad, though. It's not too bad, but there's at least a generation gap.
Yes. So it'll be fun when we go through these games and talk about like our experiences and how games influenced us, just the difference on from our age perspective as well.
And which is really fascinating, and especially for this game, because I think that it came out at an interesting time. So first, we're going to go about the history of the game we're going to talk about, which, as you mentioned, is Super Mario Brothers 2 on the NES. It came out in 1988, which was not yet born.
And I was, in 88, I would have been, 12, I think?
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah. So a few things that I went through the history of what happened in 88. Okay. So in 88, the U.S. actually started up their U.S. shuttle program again, 2.5 years after the Challenger disaster.
That's kind of big. I'm a huge aviation guy, just in general. And, you know, there are probably many people my age or younger probably don't even know about that event and how crazy just the crash was. But being an aviation buff myself, like that was big.
Yeah. And it was, so to give a little perspective on that, I was in first grade when the Challenger the Challenger disaster happened, and there was a teacher on the spaceship, and I remember we were all brought into the library to watch the Challenger take off because of the fact that there was a teacher on the spaceship, and I, you know, being in first grade, that actually had a lot of scarring. I had a lot of nightmares after that. So,
wow, I didn't even think. I mean, that must have been crazy to see it. Did you watch it? I assume you watched it live.
Yeah, we watched it live, and it was like pretty shocking.
So, what kind of? So, at the time, what did you feel like when it happened? Like, because I know that everyone loves space. Everyone wants to be an astronaut. Yeah. You know, as a kid growing up, I mean, it's just in our blood, you know?
Yeah.
What was it like seeing that happen live? Because I saw Columbia explode, but that was, you know, many, many years later after that event.
I remember that happening too. I mean, when Challenger, when that happened, I just remember being, you know, I don't know. I just remember being really scared. It was just a strange thing that, you know, I mean, I don't know. I can't even describe it. It was just really scary. And I had a lot of nightmares after that. And even to this day, I still have a fear of like flying and stuff. I mean, I do fly, but I still like, it's kind of like lingers in the back of your mind. So
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is, yeah, two and a half years after that happened, and they restart the shuttle program again. So in 88, and it was successful. Yep. And then they also unveiled the stealth bomber in 1988.
Oh, the B-2, very nice. Yeah, I didn't realize it was in the 80s.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I love stealth technology because I think I find it fascinating because it's not, because when you think of like a stealth, you know, like going invisible and stuff, but if we're talking radar invisibility. Yeah. And it's all about shapes and angles that really make those planes invisible, which I'm an aviation buff, so I just find that fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of other technology, too, the first transatlantic fiber optic cable was laid down, and that was able to carry 40,000 telephone calls simultaneously. Isn't that crazy to think about that now?
Yeah, because now we have like cell phones and things. It's just like
landlines. Yeah, I know, right? Whatever. Oh, it's so bizarre. The first major computer virus infects computers connected to the internet in 1988. Ooh. Carbon dating is established. Carbon dating was already established, but it establishes that the Turin shroud cannot be the burial cloth of Jesus. Which is interesting. I remember that, actually.
Okay. I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah. And then Prozac was introduced during in 1988, too.
That's quite interesting.
I thought it was earlier than that, but I guess that was 1988, so.
Well, as I once said, I was not yet born. So it's just weird because some of those events I didn't realize were a thing at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's wow.
So I found some other things I thought I'll just kind of touch on too. I thought this was kind of interesting. Let's see if I can find this again.
Okay.
They had the cost. Oh, here we go. Cost of a movie ticket in 1988.
All right. Lay it on me because I pay about $12 right now.
$3.50.
Oh, gosh. What I would give. That's like going to like a matinee on a Tuesday or something price.
Yes. But on the flip side, a dot matrix printer. What do you pay for a printer nowadays? I think my last printer, I think I paid $50 for.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I actually don't have a printer at the moment, but
oh, okay.
Between $50 and $80, I would say, is like a normal price for a printer, I would say.
And that's a wireless printer.
Yeah.
Mind you.
That goes on Wi-Fi, the works. Yep.
This is the dot matrix printer, the one that, you know, you had the
zzz, zzz, zzz. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. My mom had one when I was a kid.
$189.
Oh, my gosh. You would pay that for a printer.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like, I mean, technology has come so far, but you would, like, Gosh, that's insane. I definitely wouldn't be able to. I wouldn't buy one today.
A Logitech mouse was $90 back then.
You know, you can get a mouse for CVS for $5 if you wanted to.
I know. Oh my gosh. And then an IBM PC. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. 30 megabyte hard drive.
Oh boy.
Mono monitor and 512K memory for $1,249.
You know what you could do with that money right now? That's a gaming PC. That's a legit high-end gaming PC.
I know, right? Oh my gosh.
That is crazy, because you can build... If you were to build something equivalent today, I mean, that's probably, what, $300, if that?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
I technology was expensive back then.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's funny to see that. And then they also had like a Ford Taurus, which is a new Ford Taurus was $9,900.
$9,000.
So almost $10,000. But that's actually, you know, back in '88, that would have been actually quite a bit of money.
Fair enough. I mean, today you go look at a car and it's $9,000. What's wrong with that thing?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
My second car, I'm sorry. I mean, it was your average price. It was brand new, and that was $22,000-$23,000. You know, somewhere in that area. I mean, that's normal now.
Yeah. And then I'll just name some movies that came out in 1988.
Okay.
Rain Man came out in 1988.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Ooh, classic, classic.
Beetlejuice.
I didn't realize that was the 80s. I thought that was 90s, but. All right.
Yeah. And then Big, the movie Big came out in 1988.
Oh my gosh. I love Big so much.
Yeah. Oh man.
Tom Hanks was fantastic in that movie.
He was. Yeah, that was a great movie. So yeah, those are the big things that happened in the year of 1988.
As far as gaming is concerned, are you ready for this? Now, I'm going to go in chronological order.
Okay.
So we had Contra come out on the NES. Still one of the harder games out there, but still, still it's top notch. You know, people still talk about. It's one of those games people still talk about today, which is, I think, is a testament to how difficult and memorable it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, we have Metal Gear on the NES was released.
Yeah, speaking of another hard game.
Right? And I think the interesting thing is about Metal Gear, I think not very many people know that the first one was on a Nintendo console. And we haven't had a Metal Gear on a Nintendo console since Twin Snakes on the GameCube.
So, yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah. And I think it does need to make a return.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Next, in my opinion, it's not a good game, but that's just my opinion.
Okay.
Zelda 2 came out.
Oh, nope. That's a pretty common opinion, I'd say.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't understand Zelda 2. Like, how? You know?
Yeah, it's a bad game.
Okay.
It's a bad game.
Okay. It just shouldn't have happened.
Nope. I mean, I'll give them credit that they tried something different.
Right,
And it's interesting because, I mean, if we talk about... you know, comparing it to Super Mario Brothers 2, which we will. I mean, how, you know, they tried something different with both games. So
and it worked with one and not so much the other.
Exactly.
Okay, but next we have Ninja Gaiden came out also.
Oh, that was a great game.
And the thing is, too, when I was looking up the list of games that came out during 1988, there weren't a whole lot of ones that... there just wasn't a whole lot there, which I was surprised. But yeah, Ninja Gaiden was one. We haven't seen one of those in years. That needs to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Because I remember those on the original Xbox, the newer ones.
Yep.
Those were fantastic games. Also hard, but not as hard as the original one.
Yeah.
Phantasy Star, I love. I'm a huge like Sonic guy, and I love Sega. And so Phantasy Star, I love the series. And I did not realize it was 1988, the first one.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah. That was a really good game. I think the second one, Phantasy Star 2, is my favorite personally, but Phantasy Star was really good too.
Yeah, that was a good game.
On the Apple II.
I know where you're going with this one.
The first John Madden football was released, actually.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. You can't find, first of all, you can't find Madden football on a PC anymore. Like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was the start of the series. I remember reading an interview with John Madden, and I think EA still produced it back then, if I remember right. John Madden would not have his name attached to it unless it was 11 versus 11, like a real football.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and it was a technological feat that it happened.
Yeah, I know. They I remember hearing the same thing, that they're like, you're kidding me. We have to do this?
Right? And somehow they made it work, and now it's still standing in and going strong every year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, as far as like video game releases, that's all I had. But one interesting I found out, Activision was around around this time. But they actually changed their name to MediaGenic at the time. So they changed their name.
Interesting.
In 1988. Eventually, they changed it back to Activision. And now they're Activision Blizzard, I found out recently. But whatever.
Huh. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I know they bought out Blizzard, but I didn't know they changed it to... now they're Activision Blizzard, so...
Yeah.
They're going through change, some changes over the years. But yeah, those are the bigger... Oh, I missed one. So I missed one. A very big one, actually. Final Fantasy II came out also in 1988.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then the other thing that I saw that... I don't know if you played any of these games, but the Pool of Radiance, which was the Advanced Dungeons & Dragons game that came out on the computer. So that was a really hard game, but it was really cool because... Up to this point, you know, obviously, I played a lot of Dungeons & Dragons as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then to be able to play that on the computer was really cool. So,
interesting. I've never played those games before because I saw it when I was going, while I was thumbing through. But I didn't know what it was.
Yeah. You should give it a shot. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I definitely will because I love D&D. And I love games that encourage it. So I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only other game that I had that really kind of stuck out. Oh, actually, there was one more. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, other game that I'll mention is the game Narc. Do you remember this? Do you ever hear of this game at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it was a game, and I believe that you were basically hunting down drug dealers.
Really?
Yes.
They had a game like that?
Yes. It was a violent time for video games.
You know what's funny? If that game was released today, it probably would have been, quotes, controversial.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had that game. I'm surprised I had that game. I'm surprised my parents let me have that game.
They probably didn't care back then, like they do now.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, the object of the game was to arrest and kill drug offenders. That's, yeah.
You know, that's another reason why I wish I could live back in the day, you know, because the risks people took back then, I think, were fantastic. We don't take risks anymore because we're too afraid that people will be offended, in my opinion. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. It's a different time for sure. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think next we can talk about the game of the hour, I guess.
Well, should we take a break first and then we'll come back?
That's and talk a good about point. Game? Yes. Let's take a break first. When we come back, we will talk about the one, the only Super Mario Brothers 2.
Hey, everybody. If you like what you hear, you can hear more of our podcasts. You can listen to the Real Dudes podcast at realdudes.podbean.com, and you can listen to Gamerheads at gamerheadspodcast.podbean.com. Follow us there and get our latest episodes. Thanks everyone for listening. So you've been listening to our podcast and you've been thinking, you know what? I can do that. Yeah, you can. You can go through Podbean, our affiliate, and you can get 1 month free by going to podbean.com/GHPC. Podbean is what we use to host our podcast as well. On Podbean, you can host your podcast, and you can publish it there. It's actually quite simple to use.
Again, to get 1 month free, you can go to podbean.com/GHPC. That stands for Gamerheads Podcast. All right, thanks everyone, and back through the show.
And we are back to Crossplay Compatible with Carrington and Roger. And like I said, we are going to talk about Super Mario Bros. 2 today, which is why we're here, talking about 1988. Super Mario Bros. 2 released in America on October 9th, 1988. Of course, after the huge success of the original OG Super Mario Bros. Now, one thing I will mention real quick, Roger. You know, I said I wasn't alive yet when this game came out. My parents weren't even married yet, so I think they were dating at the time.
Well, you weren't even a twinkle in their eye yet.
Yeah, not even close. They married in 89, which is funny now I say that. They were married in 89. As of yesterday, it's been 28 years. So congratulations to my parents.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Yeah. They're very happily married and still going strong.
Nice.
But anyway, coming back, my dad did have an NES, and according to him, I was about 2 or 3 when I played Mario for the first time. And according to him, I was doing really well, and I've been playing games ever since. Now, on the NES...
You are a prodigy. Holy cow.
I guess a little bit. But I remember on the NES, we had 1 and 3. We did not have Super Mario Bros. 2, for whatever reason. And I didn't really think anything of it. And then it wasn't until I was about 7 or 8 years old, I got the chance to play Super Mario Bros. 2. And my first initial thought was, are you sure this is a Mario game? Because it doesn't feel like it. This is so weird and bizarre. Like, I liked it, but it just didn't make sense to me.
It was a weird game.
And for those of you who don't know, it was actually basically a reskin of another game and then just repackaged as... And we are talking about the US version specifically, not the Japanese Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yes. Because there's a difference. This game did come out in Japan, but it came out much later, actually.
Yes, you are right. It was... I'm looking at it right now. It came out in 1992, which I was born by then now. playing games, according to my dad, by 92. But I don't know why they made that choice, but it was an interesting choice, and for them it seemed to work, because it was such a bizarre game, because it's so different. When you think of the first Super Mario Brothers, the way it opens, you got your Goombas, you know, and you just start off, you know, you get the mushroom, you grow up, and you just go on, you know, it's got that tune. But Super Mario Bros. 2, when it opens up, it's just the enemies are so different. It looks different. The artwork is different. And it's just what happened, you know? But I mean, like I said, it introduces a lot of the characters that we still know and love today. Like the Shy Guys were introduced. Birdo is introduced. And those are characters that we still see a lot today. Then they're iconic now.
Yeah. Well, and remember, so not only that, but then in this game too, you can have you play it as Toadstool, or I mean Princess Toadstool, or Toad, Luigi, and Mario, and each one of them had different abilities, which is so different than what they had before.
That's right. You're right. And I almost forgot about that, because even if we're talking about like the original trilogy of Mario's, that's the only one where you can choose your character as far as that's concerned. And even then, 1 and 3, you can only choose Mario or Luigi.
Yeah, and their abilities were pretty much the same, right? I don't remember their abilities being any different. Whereas in this one, I mean, Mario was kind of like the average, you know, overall character, but Toad was a super strong one. Luigi could jump the highest, and Princess Toadstool could kind of do that float jump that she did. Mm-hmm. So, really interesting.
Now, when we've heard from me and my experience when I first played it, what was your experience? Because did you have it when it first came out?
I did. So, yeah, we got this game when it first came out, and I remember when I put it in, I was thinking, oh my god, these graphics are amazing. compared to the other one, I was like, wow, these graphics are so good. And even looking at it now, I'm just looking at some screenshots from it now. I still think, wow, like, really, the definition of, like, you know, the characters, just, they look so good compared to the first one.
I do agree. There's a lot more detail. You're just looking at the Mario sprite, there's a lot more detail there than the first Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. The other thing that was interesting with this game is that then they came out with the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, the cartoon, which had that show. You do?
Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, like 4 or 5 when I watched it. So, and I remember my parents had it, gotten it for me on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And I just vaguely remember it, thinking about it, but it wasn't like one of my favorite shows, but I do remember it.
Oh, I love this. I love that show. Because, it actually takes a lot from this game. The actual cartoon is based on Super Mario Brothers 2. So because you got the Shy Guys and you got, except for Bowser, he was in that, but the rest of the characters were from Super Mario Brothers 2, which is kind of strange, actually.
That is very strange.
Because the main villain in this one was King Wart.
Right.
And we never hear from King Wart ever again.
Because Mario beat him up, you know?
Yeah, but it's weird. So, you know, I think I mentioned this before, that this is the first game that I beat. And I remember beating King Wart, and then, spoiler alert, if you haven't beaten this game before, but it's all a dream.
So, he wakes up. That's interesting, and he's like, because the first one, you know, there's really no context. You go beat up Bowser, no big deal. This one's a dream, and the third one's a play, which was recently revealed to be true.
That's so crazy.
So it never happens.
Yeah.
So how does that make you feel? Like, it was all a dream, the entire sequence. Like, everything Mario did, or Luigi, or whoever, it never happened.
Yeah, but you notice that it was only Mario that was dreaming. None of the other characters were dreaming.
Yes, that is true.
So even if you picked Princess, or if you picked Luigi or Toad, it was all Mario's dream that he had.
So I have a question / theory for you. Maybe that's why King Wart doesn't appear. It was just a figment of Mario's imagination.
Could be. Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it certainly would. And then maybe he knew about things like Shy Guys and Birdo and things like that, which is why they've continued to make an appearance over the years.
Yeah. That is weird, too, right? That these characters still show up. And didn't... Yeah, Birdo was in this game, too, so...
Because I remember that was... I think Birdo's in one of the earlier levels, too. And I remember thinking, hey, that's where Birdo's from. Because by the time I played... Gosh, maybe I was a little bit older. I remember Birdo is in a game. I think maybe it was Mario Golf. It's in one of the Mario Sports games.
Yep.
And I didn't know where Birdo was from. Like, this is just weird. And then it was after that when I played Mario Brothers 2. I'm like, oh, this is where Birdo's from. Gotcha. Makes sense.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I feel like maybe it was just the cartoon, but I feel like Birdo had an attachment to, I don't know, I felt like a character, and I want to say Yoshi, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right about that from what I remember, but I mean, I vaguely remember, because like I said, the show wasn't one of my favorites, so I have only seen so much of it. So at the time, I was probably watching like Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, and I was probably watching Reboot at the time also, because that had gotten started around the same time.
Sure. Yeah. I remember beating the game, and I was a little disappointed, though, because I was like, wait, what? That's it? It was a dream? I was so disappointed.
That is disappointing. So, what do you think of, as far as the, I'll call it the trilogy, the Mario trilogy, which one is your favorite of the three?
Of the three? Super Mario Brothers 3, I would say, okay. For sure.
I likewise.
And I think most people would say that, too. I think Mario 3 really sticks out as the, you know, obviously the best Mario, but I also think that it had better level design. But I think it took a lot from Super Mario Brothers 2. If Super Mario Brothers 2 didn't exist, we wouldn't have three. And the reason being, because in one, remember, you could only go out to the right. You couldn't go back. Mm-hmm. There was no idea of, like, different character selections. And I do feel like some of the ideas of be able to, you know, jump on a character and pick them up and throw them and use them as weapons too. I mean, you could do a little bit of that in the first Super Mario Brothers, but mm-hmm. in the second one, for sure, that was definitely a thing that you could do. So I think that while I think Super Mario Brothers 3 is definitely the better of all three of them, mm-hmm. I think it does owe a lot to having the second one there, just from a mechanic standpoint.
And if I could just real quick, like, do an analogy for anyone who may not even really get the references we may be making right now. The first Super Mario Brothers, we can liken it to Super Mario 64, you know, just big and innovative and iconic and still going on to this time today. Where Super Mario Brothers 2, we can liken it to maybe Sunshine or Galaxy, where the 3D Mario formula was improved, but not yet perfected, where Super Mario Odyssey could be likened to Super Mario 3, where I feel like it's that by that time, the 2D/3D Marios were just, the formulas for those games have been perfected.
Yeah. That's interesting that you bring that up. I guess, you know, yeah, I mean, it's so funny that, again, this is, I think, the difference in our perspective of, you know, playing games and what we grew up playing games, mm-hmm. because I certainly played the first three Marios and I played Super Mario World, and I pretty much stopped playing right around Super Mario 64. I mean, I played that one, but after that, I mean, I didn't really get into Mario so much after that game.
Gotcha.
Because I moved towards more my Sony PlayStation and stuff.
Okay, okay.
And then I became a Sony guy.
Gotcha.
I have a Wii and I certainly enjoy Mario, but mm-hmm. It's those nostalgic games that I look back at. But I think, like, for you, I think it's interesting to hear you say that, like, nostalgia for you is a Super Mario 64 mm-hmm. and that legacy and that path.
For sure. I mean, even though Super Mario Brothers was probably the first game I played, period, I was too young to remember a lot of the things I may have been feeling and going through at the time that when I was playing it. Whereas Super Mario 64, that was, you know, I was 5 or 6 when that came out. And I can definitely remember that a lot more and a lot better. Maybe I was 7. When did the N64 come out? Was that 96?
I think so.
If it was 96, I would have been 6 at the time. And I definitely remember that a lot more because I thought it was cool. Like, oh my gosh, I've got this 3D space I can move around.
Well, I remember being really amazed by Super Mario 64. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. But by that time, I mean, I was already out of high school, in college. And I was moving on to games like, ooh, GoldenEye. Hey, that's a great game. So
Gotcha.
See, yeah.
I remember, I mean, GoldenEye, I was kind of sort of allowed to play sometimes. Because shout out to my parents for being strong and not just let me play whatever the heck I wanted to. Because GoldenEye, I was not allowed to play as much as I was other games. Because I'd still play GoldenEye, but it wasn't until I was like, right before the GameCube came out that I played GoldenEye. But, like, I grew up, when it came to the N64, I grew up with Mario 64, Ocarina of Time, of course, mm-hmm. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, and Star Wars Rogue Squadron were, like, top games I played as a kid at that time on the N64. And so those are, like, my definitely, like, go-to games when it comes to, like, nostalgia, for sure. And I could go on another whole tangent about why those games are mean so much to me and all that stuff, but Super Mario 64 is definitely just had a huge impact because I had never realized that games could push itself to that level. I'm, you know, 6 years old. You know, I was, at that time, I was used to, you know, 8 and 16-bit games, and I thought those were incredible, you know?
Yeah.
I loved Pilot Wings. I loved, gosh, what else did I play at the time? Pilot Wings, A Link to the Past, Super Mario World. of course, Sonic, because I had a Sega Genesis also. So Sonic, Sonic 2, to me, is the best of the Sonic series for many, many, many reasons. But yeah, it's just crazy to think that my nostalgia is more 3D based than it is 2D based.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. And did you ever beat this game then? Did you ever?
Super Mario Brothers 2, I did not beat. I actually, out of the three, I think I've only beat, I've only beaten 1 and 3.
Okay. I will say that Super Mario Brothers 2, not only was it the first game I beat, but it was the first game that I beat that my brother didn't beat.
Ooh, little sibling rivalry.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it always hold a very, very special place in my heart because I was very proud of that accomplishment. that was back in the day when I actually beat games.
Gotcha. I remember those days too. And I remember the days where you only had maybe 5 or 6 games for your system and not,
exactly.
You know, 50.
Yes, exactly. That's also very true. So this game actually, one other thing I'll just mention about it, that it yielded 10 million copies sold and was the third highest selling game ever released on the original NES at the time.
Even now, the amount of copies, that's still insane.
Yeah, right? I know. And it got, let's see, GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10. And it's ranked 108th out of the top greatest games of their time by Electronic Gaming Monthly.
So certainly, for sure, this game certainly had an impact just from the standpoint that not only did it build upon the original Super Mario Brothers, but it improved it, and it had features that we still haven't seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
And a lot of the smaller characters and enemies have come from that game, the U.S. version, which is surprising, too, when you think about it, because Nintendo being a Japanese company, they certainly cater to, I feel like, their own market in Japan before they market to us Americans or certainly anybody else around the world. So, you know, that's also different for Nintendo to cater to a U.S. audience.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see these characters being explored again. I would like to see Mauser was that his name? Mauser, I think it was. And King Wart, for sure. It'd be fun to see these characters in Birdo, you know, make a comeback. And I know Birdo was in some other sports games, but it would still be fun to see King Wart make an appearance somewhere. And I know in Odyssey, they started bringing back, like, Pauline and some of these earlier characters. It'd be cool to kind of explore some of the history of Mario in this as well.
I agree. I totally agree with that because on one of our episodes, we had talked about that because that Mario Odyssey has more lore to it as far as like going through the history of Mario than any other Mario game we've seen in the past. And small little known fact, the new Donk City level is supposed to be the same place that the original Donkey Kong takes place in.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I thought was very interesting. You don't see that kind of thing in Nintendo, well, Mario games very often, at least.
Yeah. And a side note, did you know, so in the original Donkey Kong game, that Mario, or Jumpman at the time, was not a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to Game Theory for bringing that out also.
Yeah. I was like, when I read the history behind that, I was like, what?
Yeah. Donkey Kong is supposed to be really, honestly, saving Pauline.
Yeah, and Mario was not very nice to Donkey Kong.
No, not at all.
So, interesting discussions about the lore behind Mario, I guess. So, and in this game, it's, you know, I think it's unfortunate. I think that this game, the lore is there, but like not many people know much about Super Mario Brothers 2 because those characters are not really ever explored ever again.
Yeah, and I feel like it's just for whatever reason doesn't, even though Nintendo carried on the legacy of Super Mario Brothers 2, for whatever reason, fans have not particularly what's the word I'm looking for? They haven't really taken to it, I guess. Even though it sold really well, it's not something that's talked about very often. It's usually Super Mario Bros. 1, 3, or World that get all the love and attention.
Yeah. So, yeah, you should check it out. I mean, I think that you can still... I mean, you can certainly find this on... Oh, it was on the NES Classic, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So if you can find one...
Yeah, that's if you can find an NES Classic, let me know.
Exactly, me too. According to Nintendo, they're supposed to be starting up production of those again sometime next year. So,
yeah, I mean, I think we'll see it. But I think it also wasn't it part of like the what was that? The Super Mario Brothers All Stars
on the Super. Yep. That was the Super Nintendo, right?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I had that,
and I think you. And then they came out with a Wii version too.
Yes, they did. I didn't get it on the Wii though. But it did come out on the Wii. And who knows, maybe we'll see some love on the Switch, because that's supposed to be getting a virtual console-esque
type that would be cool.
Treatment here pretty soon. So
that would be cool. And if you are interested in seeing the Super Mario Brothers Super Show with Captain Lou Albino as the Super Mario Brother, or Super Mario, I should say, you can catch that on Netflix. It's actually
on Netflix right
now. Oh, yep.
I don't know what I'll be doing today, right before I go to bed.
Yeah, I will say it's... I think you'll find it interesting to see all the references from 1980s, so...
I'm excited. Now, maybe I'll have a different perspective for it now that I'm a bit older.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see, right?
Yeah, I think you know, I watched it again and I'm like, it's okay. It's not bad.
Gotcha.
It's interesting.
Well, there are some cartoons can, you know, stand the test of time no matter what.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is one.
Okay. Maybe 5-year-old me was onto something.
Yeah, but you know, it's still Mario, so it's cool. So, let's wrap up our show then. Right. That'll be the end of the show here. Carrington, how can people get a hold of you?
So you can get a hold of me. I'm on Twitter at DesertFury90, or you can, I'm also on the Real Dudes account also at RealDudes_pod. If you want to email me, martin.carrington@realdudespodcast.com, Instagram at DesertFury. And then if you want to hit me up or play with me, you can hit me up on Xbox Live at DesertFury90. And if you want to know my Switch code, just hit me up.
Cool. And then how can people listen to the Real Dudes podcast?
So if you want to listen to Real Dudes, we are everywhere that you can listen to a podcast. So iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. Huge shout out to Podbean for giving us so much love and attention. And they give you guys, Gamerheads Podcasts, quite a bit of love and attention also.
Yeah.
We are also recently on Spotify, so if you want to listen to us on Spotify, we're up there as well.
Nice. Cool. And you can get a hold... Oh, go ahead.
I would say, and where can we find you, Roger, or listen to Gamerheads Podcast?
Yeah, so you can get a hold of me. I run our Twitter account, so you can send us a tweet at Gamerheads Podcast. Let's see. You can email us at gamerheadspodcast@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook. It's just Gamerheads Podcast. And to listen to the Gamerheads, just like Carrington said, we are on a lot of different places, iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean as well. So our Podbean is Gamerheads Podcast at podbean.com. That should be it then.
All right. And this is, once again, this is Crossplay Compatible. I'm Carrington. And over there on the right corner is Roger.
Hello.
And you guys have a fantastic day and enjoy your drive, evening, commute, whatever, while I listen to the show.
Bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
It's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.